Hello, my name is Angelique Power, and I am the president of the Field Foundation. I'm also a very proud board member in Forefront, Illinois, and I chair the Advancing Racial Equity Committee. Racial equity is about individuals and institutions and systems. We change ourselves to change the spaces where we occupy to ultimately radically transform systems. The Advancing Racial Equity Committee has two strategies at play, an inside game and an outside game. The inside game is really to have Forefront walk transparently on its own racial equity journey. What does it mean for a membership organization for funders and nonprofits that operates across the state to operationalize racial equity? What does it mean for an organization that works on programs? And as we move to an outside game, it's asking questions about what does this mean for an organization that works on policy? It's also incredibly important that in this moment, we are clear that we are not about performing racial equity, but we are about realizing it in all of its glory. Key to this is that the Advancing Racial Equity Committee is not in charge of racial equity for Forefront. The entire board of Forefront is deeply entrenched in this work, lockstep with the entire staff. The ARE committee is, in fact, a large group of staff, board members, and external community members that can begin to create accountability systems. So we commit to being very transparent as we go through this. We commit to failing at times in order to succeed in real ways. So follow us on this journey. Today, you'll hear from some incredible people who are leading change inside of Forefront from different roles. Monique is Forefront's incredible, fearless leader. Yusuf is the visionary that leads communications and engagement. And Rachel is an Advancing Racial Equity Committee member from outside of the Chicago area. Listen in. We get to hear more about who they are, how that ties to their racial equity work. We get to hear and learn what works, and most importantly, what doesn't work. And we also get to hear about accountability and creativity.
Hi, Yusuf. Hi, Rachel.
Good
Hello.
afternoon.
Thank you for joining me for this important conversation. I'm excited to be talking about advancing racial equity throughout Illinois with both of you. And we do have some questions, of course, and we can dive right into them. But I'd love to start with introductions. And the way that I want to hear about you both is tell us about who you are and why the work of advancing racial equity is important to you and your identity. And I'll start first, just as a quick introduction. I'm Monique Jones, the not so new president and CEO of Forefront. I come here by way of being the first African American president of Forefront, and my previous role was the first African American president of Evanston Community Foundation. And this work is monumentally important to me just because of all the identities, the multidimensional identity that I hold, and how that has fit in different places throughout my career, and a reflection of that of my colleagues throughout the state.
My name is Rachel McBride. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. So I am the CEO of Corporate Kin Diversity Strategies. I'm a community volunteer, a podcast host, lots of different titles. But I think why this work is so important to me is because I understand that there is a lot of systemic and foundational issues when it comes to racial work. And it's time for us to really talk about breaking that down, starting over, rebuilding. And I hope that more people are willing to get into that conversation because it's not going to just be a training or one conversation that makes a change. It's going to take some real deep-rooted work. So I'm excited to be a part of it and excited to work with Forefront.
Thanks, Rachel. Yusuf.
All right. And just the Another round of thank yous, Monique, for hosting this conversation, and Rachel for being a part of us and walking with us through this journey. My name is Yusef Garcia. I serve as Forefront's Vice President of Development and Communications. I've been in this role for just over 2 years. And why this work and conversation is important to me, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I sort of have this track metaphor in my mind about passing the baton. And when I think of my lived experience, my time with Forefront, my career path, I think of all the folks who came before me and have now passed the baton to me and to us. And what I mean by that is this conversation is a prime example of folks who have access to resources, connected to influential networks, and understand those inherent systemic systems that keep racism alive. And now it's our turn with the baton in our hands to leverage all of these expertise and resources to really affect policy moving forward. And I'm just realizing this now that, oh, this is the role that I play in this movement.
Thank you, Yusef. That's a pretty big baton for all of us to carry, actually. And thinking about our different roles in advancing racial equity, obviously Forefront is, we're right in the middle of this. And so the opportunity is ripe. What would you say, what do you think it means for Forefront to commit to advancing racial equity as a core value of our organization right now?
Rachel, do you want to tackle that one first, or would you like me to?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll jump in. So I think it's really important that it is a core value. When we talk about diversity, racial equity, we have to think about integration. Just like you would in any other part of an agency or business, you're thinking about your long-term strategy, where you're trying to go to your vision and mission. And that has to be a part of that playbook. So it really can't be something that is separate, a project maybe only one person owns. It really has to be something that everyone owns. So I think setting that foundation is key to making sure that you're going to hold yourselves accountable and hopefully eventually get to some successes.
Rachel, we're eye to eye. It was interesting, Monique, that's like the $1 million question for all of us. And I know over the past 6 to 8 months from my point of view and the point of view of Forefront, we've sort of landed on that in order to make this really take root and be held accountable. The commitment starts with a intentional partnership with and in solidarity with our internal stakeholders, everyone from the board to Monique, president and CEO, the management team at Forefront, and directly and intentionally connecting the broader staff to this work. So all of the rowers on the boat are moving in the same direction and rowing in the same direction. For specific examples, like over the past 6 months, you know, we've been at Forefront working with and addressing, how to create transparent and accessible pathways for the broader team to contribute to what this looks like for Forefront initially, and then potentially for our external stakeholders. And also my colleague Key, who I serve proudly with to advance this work. Part of a goal is to create these intentional, brave spaces for folks to talk about traumas, how to rebuild trust. But also, as probably all of us know, there's a lot of talking going on. And I think the third prong is, how do we create and build resources to really affect change?
Those are important pieces. Both of you spoke to the space of integration, this being a way of life and intentional partners, internal and external. You both have done this work in different spaces. Rachel, what have you seen that works? And secondly, what about what doesn't work?
Yeah, you know, working down in Central Illinois, I think it's important that you have to know the community and the environment. So I think what doesn't work is assuming that a one-size-fits-all approach is going to be the solution. We have to understand and get to know the people that are in being influenced, that are part of the conversation. And that may mean something different for Central Illinois and Cook County, right? So we have to think about that. I think what does work, however, is truly planning and coming up with an approach, a strategy. really treating this like something that you want to attain goals and check in and audit. I think having a true strategy and a team of folks that are going to continue to drive it forward, have these really moments where you just keep pushing the initiative, are going to be crucial to achieving some success.
That's helpful. Now, I know the answer to this next question, but I know that you all can explain it much better than I can. Accountability, creativity, all those things that you want to work with every day. You also have to think about that when we're thinking about racial equity. So Rachel just spoke to one size doesn't fit all. My team has heard me say repeatedly that I want to meet people where they are. I want to meet organizational leaders where they are. And that's throughout the state. But at forefront, why now? Why are we doing this now? And what is different about this moment in time that makes it so ripe of an opportunity for us?
I'll take the first stab at this. Folks who are very familiar with Forefront, I think, will agree that we remain in service to our statewide members and our sector as a whole. To put it bluntly, the scales have tipped. There has been a reawakening and awareness of the villainy that is systemic racism. And given that reawakening and that these scales have tipped, coupled with Forefront being in service to our stakeholders and community, Forefront has started our own path of reawakening and down our own journey of advancing racial equity and dismantling those systemic barriers that have been quite traumatic and oppressive for so long. There's also been within Forefront a transfer of power that hasn't happened before. At the board level, at the management team level, we're now, I believe our management team at Forefront is predominantly BIPOC. There are more new BIPOC board members at the executive committee level who are also helping us affect change and to ensure that that change trickles down to all levels of the organization. So I think that's why it's happening now and in just real time. I mean, it's such an honor to be at Forefront during this time to see it and to help affect that change.
And I'm going to ask Rachel for a little bit more, because serving on our Advancing Racial Equity Committee, you've heard us say we want to be intentionally transparent about this process. What is it that we want to be transparent about?
Yeah, I think this is so important, because I got connected to Forefront in Central Illinois when we got the study that Springfield, Illinois had one of the largest wage gaps between Black and white families in the United States. And it was something that was infuriating. And there's a number of other Central Illinois cities that were a part of that and were listed in some of the top in our country. And United Way and Forefront got together with a bunch of community members and said, how do we play a part in this? And so I think the great part about the Advancing Racial Equity Committee with Forefront is that we are having conversations about our role in the way that our communities are currently established, everything from the wage gap to the segregation that still exists in a lot of our cities. And these are things we have to talk about. And that's how the Building Board Diversity Initiative was born. Mm-hmm. We're excited that Forefront has taken the lead on that. And it's just been some great work to acknowledge that we need people of color. We need women. We need the seen and unseen communities to be a part of our boards and making decisions and helping us see where there's gaps. And Forefront really helps drive that conversation down in Central Illinois. So I think that's it, right? It's almost getting angry about some of the staff mm-hmm. that should no longer be the case in 2021, and really taking action and moving things forward to change that.
That's important. So being able to have the transparent conversations about what's happening internally and reflecting on how that looks throughout our state is really important. So that speaks to opportunities. So one of the great things, the optimism in me always wants to look at the difficulties that we've experienced and how to turn them on their head. And to do that throughout the state, when our communities are so different, takes a little bit more of us. Mm-hmm. Can you both speak to opportunities that you see in our sector for advancing racial equity throughout the state?
Rachel, you actually said something, you used a word that resonated with me, made my ears perk up. You used the word anger. And the one thing, and I think that sort of tees up to this next sort of question around opportunities, is to lean into the emotions, lean into healing traumas. And at Forefront, you know, we have been intentional about investing resources into partnering with an external group to help us go through that trauma, to help us lean into it, create stronger cultural competencies so that we in ourselves are no longer fearful of anger, but use that as a catalyst for change. I've also said that, you know, like hope is not a strategy, but how can we leverage the traumas and leverage cultural competencies statewide to create a sort of a newly defined, mutually understood language? Because, you know, from my point of view, from being someone who has lived in Chicago the majority of my life, I and at Forefront has really opened my eyes to the disconnect between the metropolitan area and the rest of the state. So in terms of opportunities, how can we have more conversations like this, especially in this virtual environment, to lean into learning what our central and downstate brothers, sisters, and non-binaries are going through to create this collective approach to battling racial inequity?
I love that, Yusuf. I really think that we have to have intention. You know, we have to be the example, but we also have to be intentional about where the money goes, who's making the decisions, where are we giving resources. And I think in the past, it was just everybody, you know, doing all they can with the time that they had. And now we have to take a step back and stop and go, are we doing this with the right lens? Is there a group we're missing out on? Are we still kind of giving to the same community? Are we maybe only seeing this community in this one light? So we're assuming all of the community is this one way, right? So I think we even have to think about our perspective. This is something that we talk about a lot down in Central Illinois. You go to maybe some of these rural, poor communities, and you assume this is what most of the state or what most of Central Illinois is like. And so you really have to get to know these different areas and different groups to understand that that's not the case, right? To be able to change your lens. So I think it's all about intention and really thinking about what we're doing with our resources, time, and funding.
You know, what I also heard in what you said, Rachel, was relationship building. So one of the things that is heavy on my mind as a social worker is, of course, meeting people where they are, but the right to self-determination is a real thing, and understanding everyone's way of life and decision-making, and then taking a step further to figure out our commonalities is my sweet spot. And so I'm looking forward to getting to know my colleagues and brothers and sisters down in Central and South Illinois. In that way. So we've covered a sort of a umbrella or gamut of racial equity from the lens of how Forefront is going to move forward, and both of you serving in very important roles in your own, your life, and then within Forefront and making this move. What would you say are the, I'm going to take it another way. What would you say are the implications of not taking advantage of this opportunity in front of us to get it right now? I will say what I'm fearful of, and I'll help you guys. I'm fearful of us being in the same spot that we are a couple of years from now and realizing that we've lost a chance to connect further with each other. I'm also fearful of us not being able to see each other as ourselves. That's a big deal with me. So while we're in the midst of the pandemic, hopefully coming out of it soon, we've had ample opportunity to get to know each other from behind Zoom. And I'm looking forward to not having to do that anymore and what that means when I can stand next to someone and have a real conversation about what racial equity means to them. Downstate, around the state, outside of the state.
Monique, thank you for that, that sort of inspiration. Because at first I was drawing a blank, and then as you started to talk about your fear, that got the light bulb going. So when I think of the missed opportunity, it would be to go back to normal. Whenever I hear, can we go back to normal? That is, to be blunt, I view that as a threat. And so to me, if from my point of view, if we do not leverage our collective resources, time and expertise, we will go back to normal, which got us here in the first place over the past 400 years. So I'm hopeful and intending to use this moment to build as much momentum as possible so that we don't go back to normal. We build something new and much more inclusive.
I think that's great, Yusuf. I would say that my fear is that we will continue to make excuses to exclude, and we'll continue to make excuses to not change. And I think that's just a part of the evolution. I think it's part of who we are as humans. We're constantly evolving. And there is some uncomfortable moments that come with that. And so along this journey, a lot of times it's this mindset of not wanting to be flexible, be open, be willing, and ultimately just continuing to exclude and create a space where your opinions and what you believe is the only truth that you can see. And there's so many reasons that we can't live that way. Diversity is a big part of that. Racial equity is a big part of that. But even just innovation and creating communities that will thrive is a part of that. So I am worried and fear that if we don't step into that uncomfortable space and get courageous and get brave and be willing to fail and take risks, that we will continue to have these communities that truly just need support and need allies. And I think it's important too that we have to remember we can't expect these communities that are marginalized or need support to fix the problem, right? So we need other people to step in and be a part of that. We don't want to put that type of weight on them. So I'm happy that you mentioned some healing and speaking to trauma, because I think that exists too.
This has been an excellent conversation, Yusuf and Rachel. I so appreciate your insight, your thoughtfulness, your leadership. And so I'm going to wrap it up asking for your closing remarks, closing inspiration, and then give a couple of call to actions for our viewers. Yusuf, want to go first?
Yes, thank you. This is, again, from my point of view, a historic moment for Forefront. We've been around for over 40 years, getting close to 50. And I hope that the audience who's watching this continues to stay with us and continues to learn from Forefront as we go down our journey to advance racial equity, both internally for our team, but also for our stakeholders, our external stakeholders. And it's interesting because I don't feel like I have any words of inspiration other than we are all in this together. And another missed opportunity would be for us as a sector, once we start building more trust as organizations within the system, to start sharing more vulnerability within organizations so we can all begin learning those internal best practices. So I guess my call to action would be to stay with us and to also share your stories with us.
I love that. So I would say that my, words of encouragement are, this is a time to be excited. I don't think this is a time to be fearful, a time to tell yourself, oh my gosh, this is going to be so hard. We know all of that. And I think it's time to focus on what we can control and what we can do. And this is the time to be bold, to think about the life that we plan to have 20 or 30 years from now, and to really drive what we're hoping to do with racial equity in that direction. So I hope that everyone will keep this as a time for a much needed change, but in a way that really is exciting and a lot of possibility.
Thank you both. My inspiration is just listening to you. So as I continue to have conversations with my colleagues, my friends, my family, it is knowing that hopefully the work that I'm doing will make a change. And you people have heard me say this before, when my now 9-year-old daughter is my age, I want her to be able to say, mommy did something, not just mommy had a lot of meetings. but to that end, Forefront is here for this work. And our call to action as an organization is to be the catalyst for which our grant-making members, our nonprofit members, our connecting members across the state can call on to help figure this out. We don't have all the answers, and we're working internally to figure our own things out so that we are able to give the right, the just right answer when the time is there. So my call to action for our viewers and listeners, so stay in touch with us. Follow us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Yes, we are. and we have the same handle on all of them, My Forefront. So please do follow us. The second is, we actually want to hear from you. So Rachel and Yusuf both serve on our Advancing Racial Equity Committee, as well as myself. And it is a listening committee. We're doing internal work. We're going to do external work, but we want to hear what your experiences are. And so our email address is info@myforefront.org. Send us what you want us to know, and we will use that. We will make sure that we are viewing that and reviewing that to inform what we do. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for your leadership. And we look forward to continuing this conversation with you always.
My name is Greg DiDomenico, and I humbly and proudly serve as Forefront's board chair and as president of Community Memorial Foundation. Thank you, Monique, Rachel, and Yusuf, for inspiring us to be vulnerable, to be intentional, and to be collaborative as we begin our journey to advance racial equity. This steadfast commitment to advancing racial equity is a priority for the Forefront board. Our board, together with our amazing CEO and incredible staff, are committed to learning how to incorporate and activate this work as a core value, both in our work as a Forefront team and our partnership with our valued members throughout Illinois. Through conversations with key stakeholders, we're realizing how Forefront, together with our partners, may play a collective role in advancing equitable practices, leadership, and pathways across our state. We are committed. We're committed to the work ahead, to listening, learning, healing, collaborating, building, and creating. Special thanks to the members of Forefront's Advancing Racial Equity Committee and its chair, Angelique Power. This committee, comprised of staff, thought leaders, and board members, in partnership with Monique's leadership, is guiding us throughout our process. A few moments ago, Monique, Rachel, and Yusuf discussed that in doing this work, we need to build resources and be a catalyst for change. That resonated with me as Forefront continues its journey in advancing racial equity. For together we know that by intentionally prioritizing the advancement of equitable policies, leadership, and pathways, we will create a more just, inclusive, and resilient Illinois and nation. So thank you. Thank you for all you do to further this shared vision and for your support and partnership. To learn more about Forefront and how to engage with us, please visit myforefront.org. And once again, thank you.